Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Powering through on this Monday morning, the season comes to an end. 17-3, right? Good season. Ended with a bad taste.
Yep.
Very bad taste. Kind of like this trip.
Yeah.
Great trip.
I just said to you guys in the break, I go, this effing sucks. I'm not going to lie. This sucks. But honestly, guys, if this is the worst thing we have to experience in this job of covering a Super Bowl loss for the, you know, third consecutive Super Bowl, we do have it pretty damn good.
Yeah, I'll take that any day.
But this still does sting because you gear up all season long and you said good season. It's not a great season. It's not a successful season. It didn't end with what they wanted and what they had geared. Are you going to Mother's for all of us now? It's right across the street getting us breakfast. Is that where he said it? But it's not a successful season. And they will tell you that. And you could see it. Like, I think when you're old and gray and you're retired and Andy's sitting on the beach and Beach is sitting on the beach and all these guys are kind of reminiscing about the old days, they'll look back fondly, obviously, at this season. But I think in the moment right now, for an entire year, it was all about the three-peat, all about going back, all about winning again, and you got this close and didn't accomplish your goals, and it's got to leave a bad taste in their mouth, which is good because this team always responds when they have a bad taste left in their mouth after the end of a season that didn't end in a championship.
913-586-7965, Jay Southland Toast over Sex Line Plus, that's the number you can use to call, and we can go to Christian in North Kansas City. Go ahead, man.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
No, it's another day in paradise. You're asking how things were going back home, and traffic was minimal on this drive to Lee Summit today.
Yeah, I can imagine. Not a lot of people are out there today going to work and doing their thing, and probably not a lot of people going to be out there all week with the snow that's coming in, huh?
Oh, more than likely. We'll see what happens there. But I just wanted to touch on a couple of the good things that happened. I mean, that deep pass at the end, we actually hit Worthy for 50 yards. I mean, got to give him props there. And we're able to stop Saquon for the most part. I mean, didn't end how we wanted it to, but there were some positive notes in there.
Well, and I think...
Thank you for the phone call.
Yeah,
brother.
Appreciate it, my man.
Thanks,
like,
Christian.
I think we could all agree on this. We've got another number one wide receiver. Like, Xavier Worthy has emerged as a legitimate number one threat. Rashee Rice has emerged as a legitimate number one threat. And so if you want to look at those positives from the game and positives from the season, Xavier Worthy has answered all the questions that we had of, do we have another number one wide receiver? Who's the number one wide receiver? Guy was spectacular. He was great yesterday. He was great all season long. And so to watch him emerge this year was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a positive sign to know that, like, you know, you do have two big targets coming back, because you know that Travis probably is going to end his career in a game like this for sure. But you'll know exactly what his role is next year. Mm-hmm. And everyone will know, like, more than likely, this is it. Like, if he comes back for the final year in his contract, then you know that that's like the swan song. Which we were told at Radio Row by the, like, owner of this team that he knows that Travis is coming back.
Right.
At least that was 5 days ago.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you walk out on this, though?
You
can't leave.
I don't think you do.
After a game like this. Like, even if you were considering leaving after this, and if they had won, it's the perfect way to go out, right? You went out with a three-peat. You went out on top of the world. You won another championship.
Did his brother go out after they lost this season?
Yes. No, he went out after they lost that Tampa game.
Okay.
Yeah, that Tampa Bay game.
Right.
Yeah, that awful playoff game that they had, you know, down in Tampa. But I think for my standpoint and where I am, if I'm Travis Kelce right now, I'm back in the weight room today as soon as we land in Kansas City and saying, I am not leaving. I am coming back for one more year, because that's not a way to go out. That's just not the way you want to leave it. That your last game is a game in which you didn't do anything. You dropped a couple of passes and your team got whitewashed last night, right? I mean, so that's one of those things where I just look at it. If I'm Travis Kelce, there's no decision to be made if you're Travis Kelce. The decision has already been made and was reinforced last night. I'm coming back for another one. I can't go out on that.
913-586-7965. We'll go to Double J. Go ahead, man.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to say a tough loss last night. We had a great season. Wish we would have won, but it just happens in every sport. Go Chiefs, and hopefully we could get some offensive line help, like especially at the tackles, to protect Mahomes. Thanks, and I'll listen out. Eric.
Thank you for the phone call, Double J. It's okay, man. You'll be all right. Yeah, these sting. But, you know, what is it I always tell you at the ripe young age of 37? Sometimes in life, you got to get obliterated into a billion pieces to put them all back together and come back stronger than you were before.
Yeah.
It happens. You know, you're just – I think there's two reasons why people feel the way they do today. In Kansas City, at least. Philadelphia, they're still hammered and good for them. They won the Super Bowl. We'd be doing the same thing in
Absolutely,
Kansas City.
Absolutely, we would. Except burning the city down like they're doing in Philly this morning.
So I think the number one sting, and maybe I'm wrong, and you can chime in as well, 913-586-7965. You got blown out in the Super Bowl.
Right.
That's, I think, the number one. God, that sucks. Like, tough loss, you're like, well.
And whatever. Both of their losses in the Super Bowl, Dusty, were absolute shellackings, yeah. You know?
Yeah. The other one, too, is that, I mean, you're coming off winning two games. In the Super Bowl. You're coming off back-to-back championship seasons. So, like, yeah, like, you had players in this game that have been drafted that have never lost in this Super Bowl. And that happened. So there's a lot of, like, not used to it, like you said. Mm-hmm. So that's the other part that's like, wow, it really – and then I think the third and final thing is there was just so much on the line to, like, change not only a lot of major players' narrative for their career – but, like, this franchise that represents this city, like, that was something that was on the line. And I think that's why there was a lot of people that were crushed by this, because you win that game, you go down, no argument, and solidified yourself as the greatest franchise to ever exist in the NFL.
That's right.
To the current date. Mahomes then narrows that gap to Tom Brady. Now that gap is
three
severely widened.
Mm-hmm.
It's back to pre-Super Bowl. And so I think there's a lot that was on the line for that game. And then you kind of throw in, you know, the tough guy, bad guy crowd of Philadelphia. That's just salt into the wound that has been the result of those three things that I think really sting.
Well, I think there's a couple of things to kind of take away from this, too, if you're headed into the offseason and you're the Chiefs. Obviously, you got to revamp the offensive line. We know that. Mm-hmm. But they also, and I don't know how you do this, but there's got to be a way. Like, the Chiefs are really good at just about everything that they do. Yeah, they lost the Super Bowl. Oh, no. It doesn't take away from who they are as an organization. In my opinion, and obviously we've got blinders on at times, but in my opinion, they are still that premier organization in the NFL. Just because you lost in a Super Bowl, when the Patriots lost in the Super Bowl to the Giants, nobody usurped them and became the best franchise in the NFL. It was always still the New England Patriots. And right now, the Kansas City Chiefs are still the best team in the NFL. I was talking to somebody, you know, around the organization over the last couple of days, and they're like, we just do everything better and right here in Kansas. And we do, right? Except for last night, it happened. But I don't know how you do this. But the number one thing that they really have to do is try to find a way of dealing with adversity better, right? Because last night we saw they did not handle adversity well. I don't know how you coach that. I don't know how you teach that. I don't know how you make people learn how to deal with adversity, because you can only deal with it when you're involved in it. And I think if you look at anything from that game last night that you can build upon and learn from, maybe they do take that game with the way that it went, with all the adversity that they faced, the way they weren't able to handle adversity, and maybe that helps them moving forward handle those type of situations. Again, they're not in them a lot, so they don't have those experiences of figuring out things, of being punched in the mouth and punched in the mouth and punched in the mouth and punched in the mouth. Like, they've never had to really experience that in this era of Chiefs football. And so that's the one thing in my opinion, that they really need to work on this offseason. And how you do that, I don't know. But do a better job of handling those adverse situations. Because it seemed to a lot of people in that building last night, once it got to about 17-0, everything went out the window, and the Chiefs just did not know what to do, and they didn't handle that situation well at all. It overwhelmed them. It became too big for the greatest quarterback-coach combination of this era.
We'll go to one more caller again. 913-586-7965 before we go to break. Camden and KCK, take us away.
Hey, how are you doing, guys? Thanks for having me on. So I'm going to kind of bring a little positivity. I'm able to watch it with my five-year-old, and I never really thought I would ever get to be to this point seeing my team in the championship game. And so it's just sitting there watching with him. He's like, what's going on? What's going on? And it's like, this is how it was when I was a kid. and I still remember the times of, like, Lynn Elliott and crying because of that. And so it's like, well, it's not that bad. Like, and I explained it to my childhood, but also it's like, your mom's also a Cowboys fan, so that could always be that much worse.
I love it. That's outstanding. That's how you bring it back and you find some positivity in it. Your mom likes the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's just he's used to winning now, and I never got this when I was a kid. So it's like it's always kind of bring it back like this doesn't always happen.
Right.
And just kind of enjoying the moment. I enjoyed the moment with him. I got to watch it with my dad, too. So it's just
awesome.
Like three generations.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get much better than that. So I just want to bring a little more positivity to this morning.
Yeah, there you go. It's a great call, man.
Appreciate
great
phone call, Camden. Thank you very much. 913-586-7965. Come up on the other side. We'll get to Derek Johnson. He'll join us here on Fesco and Dusty. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey guys, it's Dusty Likens, and I know it's tough to talk about when it comes to low T or erectile dysfunction, or even for myself, weight loss. It's tough, I get it, but sometimes you just have to nip it in the bud and take care of it yourself, or you can have some help, and where you can get that help is with my friends over at Heartland Men's Health. Heartland Men's Health treatments work when the pills or the herbals fail. They have treatments with success rates well over 90%. Some treatments can even have you last an hour or more. Heartland Men's Health is successfully treating men in the Kansas City area. They have an expert staff, and if you are like a lot of men, you could be having sex the day after your appointment. They also have three locations to help serve you. Overland Park, Kansas, Independence, Missouri, between Blue Springs and Lee Summit, and their new office in North Kansas City. So if you need some help and you want some guidance, go see my friends at Heartland Men's Health. Call them today, 844-447-6600, or you can visit them at heartlandmenshealth.com.
You getting settled back there,
trying
my guy?
Trying to. Yeah. Trying the best I can.
Bob's
here.
Corner over there, just tucked away. We are live in New Orleans on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. I'm Derek Johnson in just a second here for you. But what an atmosphere last night. It had everything that you would think it would be. Halftime performance was great. It was cool watching him set everything up. The crowds were electric. I think this is a good text I want to get to before we get to Derek Johnson. Mm-hmm. I want to ask Derek when we put him on. Says, you know, I'm going to abbreviate the text, but it's basically like the way that when the Chiefs came out and the reception they got from the crowd was a massive, massive booing.
Yeah.
Loud.
Oh, huge, yeah.
I mean, you probably could have heard outside the dome.
Mm-hmm.
He says maybe that's something that could, like, kind of affect your mental psyche.
You could.
Know, like, be one of those things where it's like, oh my God, like, okay, like they really want us to lose. They are really tired of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, even T Swift gets booed massively, which there's reasons for that that go beyond her being there. And that's the fact that she was a Philadelphia fan.
Right. Yep.
Right. We know that her dad is, and she's with the opponent. So there's more to that.
Of course. Just, yeah.
Like, oh, they just don't like her because all those guys at Boone will take their daughters to a concert of hers in the next coming years. But maybe a little bit to that, right? Like, it's, you know, you came into a yard that you don't ever play in, and it was like, we hate you, and we hate you loud, and we hate you proud.
The Chiefs went from being the person that everybody liked to being the person that everybody became jealous of to becoming the person that everybody hates. And I think sometimes you have a tough time adjusting to all of that. You know, you're used to, if you're Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and company, you're used to getting your flowers everywhere you go. When was the last time you really heard the Chiefs booed like that? Like, it's one thing if you go on the road to Buffalo or someplace like that, it's their home stadium and it's an outdoor venue and, you know, they boo and you hear it. Okay, that's kind of expected. But yeah, those boos were overwhelming last night at the Superdome. I mean, the Eagle fan was going to make it known that they were there and they were rooting against you. Like, they root against before they root for their own team. And I experienced that last night walking back to the hotel. They were more excited to say F the Chiefs than they were to celebrate a victory. And that's one thing, I guess me personally, I've never really understood that. Like, the people who take more joy in a team losing, like Missouri fans, take more joy in Kansas losing than they do in Missouri winning. Eagle fans last night taking more joy in the Chiefs losing than the Eagles winning. If you're a neutral fan, like if you were one of those poor, sorry, sad humans in a Lions jersey last night, which there were many of down here, and I did kind of feel bad for them, but like if you were excited that the Chiefs lost, that's fine. Your team wasn't involved. But when your team's involved and you win a game, a Super Bowl game, and you're more excited to say F the Chiefs than go Eagles, I just don't understand that one. I don't get that one at all. Again, all the Lions fans and Buffalo fans and every other fan base, great. You hate the Chiefs. I get it. But the Eagles just won. Celebrate your dang victory, man.
All right, Nathan. You know what to do.
Okay.
I'm sorry. My bad.
Yeah, we're a couple minutes early. We're a couple minutes early on that. But, you know, we can talk about the fan bases and all this kind of stuff all morning long if we want about how the behavior was deplorable from the Philadelphia fans. I don't understand why they wear that as like a badge of honor anymore, because it's not. You talk to enough Philly fans, and we did over the last couple of days, and you get most of them. Most of them are genuinely nice people. Like, yeah, I know we got a bad rap, and I've ran into a lot of people saying all of that. You know, we get a bad rap and whatnot. We're really not that bad as everybody says we are. And then you see what like last night, you're walking home, and it's just a display of a cesspool of the way that they're acting and behaving, and doing their thing. And so I'm like, yeah, you get a bad reputation because you have a bad reputation with the way that you behave, and it's not fun, it's not cool, it's not neat, it's not something that, you should be wearing with a badge of honor. You should eventually evolve and grow up and become adults and act the right way. And so that was another reason why I would have liked to have beaten Philadelphia last night, too, to shut them up, because they've been boisterous, they've been loud. And look, they played last night. Their team kind of played to what their city's about. Like, they played to the level of the makeup of their city last night. They went out there and they bullied us. They absolutely bullied us, just like their fans bully everybody who doesn't wear green. That football team last night, that defensive line last night, they bullied the hell out of us, and we didn't have a response for it. And it happens sometimes. And that's what that game was all about. They were the bigger bullies. They were the big kid on the block. They swung, they hit, they connected, they dropped us down. And we never got back up. And when you don't respond, when you don't get back up and you get bullied like that, hey, man, you lose a football game and you lose it in a big way.
Ready to go part two. Nathan, you know what to do.
Yes, I do.
There we go.
Could have used them last night.
It is that time on a Monday as we are joined by former Chiefs linebacker Derek Johnson, and is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union, member owned, open to all, invested in you, and also Sheet Metal Workers, local number 2. DJ, it's not the best feeling on this Monday because kind of got kicked in the mouth. So I ask you, somebody who's probably dealt with a game like that where maybe you were not expecting an outcome and it was a little bit more sour than you would like, how does one react to that the next day?
No, man, it's that's tough because when you prepare for a big game like this. And the Chiefs are the best at it. And being able to be on a stage in front of the world and nothing goes your way, especially early. And when you get down, you get out of your game plan, and it just kept getting worse. And it was like a bad dream. I'm like, what's going on right now? So I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where we are this morning. We're kind of waking up going, man, the last time they got pummeled like this was in that Super Bowl in Tampa against Tampa Bay. And, you know, they did what they had to do that offseason. They retooled things and moved forward and figured it all out. And here we sit going to three consecutive Super Bowls, DJs. But I wanted to know from, like, your perspective as a player. We were talking about it earlier, and I think you probably thought it. All fans thought it. Why aren't we making a change along the offensive line? Can you do that during the course of a game? Is that normal? Should that have been done? Like, just kind of, you know, take me through, like, what happens on the sidelines when things aren't working, how quickly coaches should be making those changes.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. Just because, it's the last game of the season. So, like, your guys are your guys. Or now, adjusting the sideline by maybe getting the ball quicker out, or getting the ball out quick, maybe doing more runs. But when you do,
all right, let's put him on hold and try to get a better connection there, Nathan. If you don't mind, let's see if we can figure out DJ. Maybe that's on our end with the technical difficulties, but it was like really, really kind of. So let's see if we can get that figured out and get it back on to where we need to be and get a good connection.
It was doing what again?
What was it?
Yeah, we'll get DJ back. Once we get a better connection, we'll try to work that down the line again. Doing the show in New Orleans, live on 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. But, you know, we start with the question one, you know, how to get, you know, prepared after getting punched in the face. Like, sometimes you come back from that, sometimes you don't. Last night was an example where he didn't come back from it. And, you know, it was one of those things where we were talking about earlier in the show, like, it's 10-0, okay, it's fine. It's right where you want him, right, from the past. Okay, now it's 17-0. This is starting to get a little bit out of hand. And I think it was the second pick was the pick six, right? That one was.
Yeah. That was the one that made it 17-0.
Yeah, yes. that one was the way that it happened and how quick it happened. And just like the energy that you felt shift in the dome. That's where, like, it was, you know, you and I looked at each other, it's like, oh boy.
Yep.
And it's like, okay. This is a tough hill to climb, but if you can put something together and still get the ball in the second half, it's Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid. And that's the next drive where the veteran in DeAndre Hopkins doesn't make that catch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it was the world's easiest catch. And I'm not here defending that Mahomes did everything, because Mahomes wasn't great. He'll tell you he wasn't great. He's going to own this for a while. But that drop and the energy that shifts after that drop, where it's just like no one's talking to each other. Everyone's kind of in full shock mode. And Nathan's let us know we got DJ back. So, DJ, welcome back to the show. What is that like as well? Like, when you start trying to, like, do everything right and it's not happening, do you feel like you see yourself starting to force things that aren't there and you get out of rhythm and get out of character? Is that just natural for how that can happen?
Yeah, yeah, it does. And it happens fast, too. It was a great point by D-Hop. That opportunity, obviously, Pat had his list of things that he didn't do well, but there were, you know, it just added to it. It was like, man, you know, you're running out of possessions, you're running out of opportunities, and with their defensive line, I mean, I don't think they were blitzing much, and their front four were, man, it was tough to watch, and it just kind of had the offense forcing a little bit, and then when we did have opportunities, we didn't take advantage of it.
Well, we'll just call this another loss for us. But
yeah,
just,
it's apropos to the
DJ,
situation.
DJ, take the
right?
day.
Yeah,
just, don't worry about it. Again, that's Derek Johnson, brought to you by Community American Credit Union. Community American Credit Union. Member owned, open to all, invested in you, and also Sheet Metal Workers Local Number 2.
I'm looking at X right now, and I really resent myself for doing this.
Why?
Because here's the topic of conversation. You know, going into this, I had said, and you all disagreed with me, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. Everybody's got a right to their opinion, right? And I said, if Patrick Mahomes wins this, I believe he becomes the greatest of all time. And you go, come on, man. He's still got more to go. He's early in the great counterpoints to all that, right? But I always was thinking, like, no matter what they do, and I talked to somebody actually a week ago, now that's how long we've been here, with the organization that said, if we do win this thing, are they going to continue to push the bar? Are they going to continue to tell us that we're not the New England Patriots, that we can never reach that level of the New England Patriots? Like, when is it going to be okay to accept the Kansas City Chiefs as the next great dynasty? And obviously, they are still a dynasty because they're still going to these Super Bowls. They've still won three in the span of 6 years or whatever it's been, right? So they're still considered a dynasty. Will they be the greatest dynasty of all time? Had they won last night? Yes. But I see this topic that's being discussed now and the revisionist history that takes place when we're in the midst of something new is always very enjoyable to watch. Mahomes' Super Bowl setback. Can he still reach Brady's heights? And so now that's where we are with all of this, and people are forgetting that Tom Brady went an entire decade without winning a Super Bowl. He went 10 years getting beat twice in the Super Bowl, not making it the other 8 years during that decade run. And so the revisionist history that's going to start taking place with all of this, Patrick Mahomes is this and Tom Brady's that, and is Patrick Mahomes ever going to be able to live up to Tom Brady's legacy? Patrick Mahomes still has 12 or 13 more years to get to the age that Tom Brady was before Tom Brady walked away from the game. And there was that gigantic hole of not winning championships for Tom Brady. They won, what, two pretty quickly, right? And then they went a decade and they didn't win. They won a couple of more. Then he went to Tampa and he finished off his career there. I think anybody that's floating that out there, that, oh my God, can he still reach Brady's heights, is just trying to hold on to Tom Brady. And as we've talked about and we did with Dan Israel and company yesterday, it is a generational thing. I'll always believe Michael Jordan's the greatest of all time. This generation will always believe that LeBron's the greatest of all time, or maybe Kobe's the greatest of all time. And the generation before that looks at Bill Russell and considers him one of the greats of all time. But to think that Patrick Mahomes, because he lost a Super Bowl and had a bad game and now is 3-2 in the Super Bowl, can't reach Tom Brady's heights, that's laughable right now. And those are the things that are going to motivate Patrick Mahomes. Those are the things that are going to get Patrick Mahomes fired up. They're leaving today. The hell, they may have left last night. I don't think they did, obviously. But they're going to be leaving today, and this team's going to go right back to that Arrowhead practice facility and get after it. I'm sure Brett Veach has already laid the groundwork for what they're going to be doing from a roster standpoint along that offensive line. But that's the kind of stuff that bothers me. That's the kind of stuff that bothers me about the instant gratification society in which we live right now. Oh, Patrick Mahomes lost in the Super Bowl, so maybe he can never reach those Tom Brady levels. Tom Brady went a decade without winning a championship. He got beat by Eli effing Manning twice in the Super Bowl, and everybody still considered Tom the greatest of all time. So stop with the he can't reach the Brady heights and all of that nonsense, because Patrick Mahomes will, at the end of his career, be just about probably neck and neck, if not better, when it's all said and done than Tom Brady. Like that kind of stuff is going to drive me to drink on a Monday.
Mm-hmm. Brady lost to Jake Plummer in the playoffs. Brady didn't even make his fifth Super
Bowl
until he was 34. He started out 3-2 in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, Mahomes, even with this loss, still ahead of schedule, still ahead of pace, not only from a ring perspective, but far and away statistically.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the other
thing.
That's
to Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, you know who else he lost to? Joe Flacco. Tom Brady lost to some schleps out there.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes lost to Tom Brady, Joe Burrow, and Jalen Hurts. That's a pretty good threesome right there of quarterbacks. If you're going to lose, you're losing to some of the best in the game today and the greatest of all time. You didn't lose to Joe Flacco. You didn't lose to Mark Sanchez. You didn't lose to Rex Ryan, who I saw on Bourbon Street. Very nice veneers. You didn't lose to, whoever else. You said Jake Plummer, losing a game like that and whatnot. Like, Tom Brady had some devastating postseason losses. That cat was not in the Super Bowl every single year. He didn't win the Super Bowl every time he played in it. And Patrick Mahomes' career doesn't end because they lost that game to the whatever team that was yesterday, the Eagles. His career's not over. The book isn't closed on Patrick Mahomes' career. It took a turn. It took a twist that we didn't expect to see happen last night. But to sit there and say that, can he still reach Tom Brady's heights? You're GD right, he can reach Tom Brady heights. And it's going to motivate him even more. Like, I'm now more excited for this season. The Super Bowl odds are out. The Chiefs are now plus 750 to win the Super Bowl next year. They're going to use that as motivation. Obviously, the Eagles are the favorite going in, you know, into the season next year to win the Super Bowl and all this kind of stuff. Like, stop. Just stop saying that Tom Brady or that Patrick Mahomes can't pass Tom Brady because they lost the game in the Super Bowl last night. Tom Brady lost in divisional playoff games. Tom Brady lost wild card games. Patrick Mahomes has never done that.
No, but he has been blown out twice in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's huge.
And whether you want to like it or not, that's...
And you're 100% right about
that.
And
that's when people watch you the most. That's when the most eyes are on you, because we always say when the lights get the brightest and the stage is its biggest, like, how does that person show up? And Tom Brady blew him out, and Jalen Hurts and the Eagles blew him out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the Super Bowl. It wasn't in a, you know, wild card game or a division game. Nobody remembers those. Like, I couldn't tell you who the Patriots lost to in those games outside of the Colts, but in the Broncos. Mm-hmm. But, like, the Super Bowl, when you're the king of the land and your team and you get absolutely drug and run amok, like, that's a little bit impactful. Like, that's why Jordan will always have over LeBron. Jordan never lost in the finals.
Right.
LeBron notoriously lost in the finals. And everybody said, LeBron's really good, but he's not Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of put the conversation there. And last night, seeing Mahomes and the Chiefs get blown out in this, everybody said, you know, he's really, really good, but he's not Tom Brady. And I think that's the thing that is today that solidifies it in my mind. I don't think he was ever going to pass Tom Brady with a win. But what I thought a win could do would expedite that conversation to get there. It opens up the conversational jar that could be that. But you had to win. And to chase greatness, you have to be great. He wasn't great.
No.
And unfortunately, for those that want to have the legacy conversation, that goes away. And Tom Brady shuts the door and says, thanks for coming up. I appreciate your sales pitch, but I'm not interested in buying right now. And now Mahomes has 11 years to go out there and prove to the world that he can be better than 12, but right now he's just not, and that's okay.
And that's okay.
That's the greatest individual athlete to play the sport that we watch today. Just like Scottie Scheffler, as amazing as he has been, will never be Tiger Woods, at least from what I can see.
Right.
But he can get really damn close, and he's doing a very good job. But even what he's done the last 2 years, there is still a massive amount of time to go. And Scottie Scheffler's young, and he's got time. But he's still got to, like, be absolutely great for a longevity. So the conversation doesn't necessarily need to be there. And if there is a conversation that has to be there, it's Tom Brady's the best. And Patrick Mahomes is still really, really good. And he's got a chance to still keep the narrative that he's the second best quarterback to ever do it.
And you know, this could be a great reset for them as well. You know, hit that reset button, realize what you need to do, because sometimes when you win and have success, it masks the bigger problems at hand, right? And sometimes you don't make decisions and make changes that you need to make because you continue to win, and you look past all that kind of stuff. Now the Chiefs have an opportunity to really truly look inside and say, okay, this is what we need to do. Like, I don't believe Trey Smith is going to be back. As much as I want him to be back, CBS Sports has him as the second most coveted free agent on the market right now, and him getting a contract roughly worth $78.8 million, right behind T. Higgins. They list him as the number one, you know, free agent that's going to be hitting the market this offseason. And so Trey Smith they have as the number two free agent that's going to be hitting the market this offseason. I love Trey with all of my heart. I've got a close relationship with Trey. Like, you know, that type of stuff. I'm going to miss Trey Smith. But I also want Trey Smith to get paid. I want Trey Smith to get his bag. And if you're going to get four for $78.8, $79 million or something like that, then, my God, you have to go and take that kind of money. That's life-changing money, and Trey Smith deserves every penny he makes. But having him now removed from that position allows you to kind of reset that offensive line and put your resources into finding a way to fix that left tackle position, whether it be money, whether it be a draft pick, whether it be a trade. Now you have the opportunity to say, okay, we're not going to pay a guard this money, but now we've got this money available that we can go and pay a left tackle with. And that's what this team really does need to do. Guys, still, since Eric Fisher, they've really not had an answer and a consistent answer at that left tackle position. And they've still found ways to win, you know, Super Bowls because of all of that. Now they have shown, we have seen for the second time in a Super Bowl, that left tackle position affects the entire offensive line. That's the number one goal this offseason. Fix that left tackle position. The rest of the offensive line should take care of itself. But that's what they've got to address. And now you have the opportunity to do that. Maybe there's some players on the defensive side of the football, like Nick Bolton's a free agent. Love for Nick Bolton to be back, you know, on this field. I thought he had a very nice game yesterday. There's a good chance we've seen the end of Nick Bolton. Clearly, we've seen the end of Justin Reed in Kansas City. He tweeted about it last night. This seems like it's probably the end. I hope not, but if it is, then it is. So you're going to be moving on from him. Brian Cook, I thought, played a fairly good game last night at that safety position. And so now you have the opportunity to move forward. You're getting rid of some players that are going to command a lot of money, and you can redirect those resources to truly fixing that offensive line. Again, I don't know who the answer is at left tackle. I don't think they do right now, but I guarantee you they've got some sort of plan in place, and they're going to take care of that spot because that's what they do. When they lose and everybody complains about something, they fix it that offseason.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get into things that surprised us and things that didn't. With our trip in New Orleans, you're listening to the Fesco and Dusty crew here with Mac, Bob, and me, myself, Dusty Likens, here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports. Keeping the train rolling on a Monday morning is Kansas City's dynasty over?
Please.
Is the picture on one Bob Fesco's computer screen.
That is the topic today on the 33rd team on the interwebs. Is Kansas City's dynasty over? Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, Nathan. Very well timed by you. No, their dynasty is not over. Losing a Super Bowl. I don't remember that conversation around the Patriots to you when they lost those Super Bowls. Did anybody ever say, is their dynasty over? No, they'll be back. You got Bill Belichick. You got Tom Brady. We got Andy Reid. We got Patrick Mahomes. Why on earth would you think this dynasty is over? It's just people are so ready for it to be over, right? Like, America's happy today, aren't they? Oh, yeah. Like, America's happy today.
Rejoicing.
That we lost that football game. Like, we were all happy when the New England Patriots lost football games and everybody celebrated. But we never had the conversation of, is the dynasty over? Is Patrick Mahomes' career done? Is Andy Reid? Like, all of these things that are taking place now. We never had those conversations with the New England Patriots. Everybody just looked at Belichick and Brady and went, hey, they got Belichick and Brady. They're going to be just fine. And now we're sitting in a spot where everybody wants to write Kansas City off. Everybody wants to say Kansas City's done. Everybody wants to say this thing is over. And I hate to tell you, they lost a game. It doesn't mean the dynasty's done. It doesn't mean the season's over. It doesn't mean Clark Hunt's closing down shop and selling the franchise and moving it to Topeka or whatever. Like none of this is – well, they may move there. But, like none of this is going to be a situation where the dynasty's over. I can't believe these are even the topics that people want to bring up today. That is this dynasty over? Will Mahomes ever reach Tom Brady? Is it too late for Patrick Mahomes to be on the same level of Tom Brady? We are losing our collective minds in this world.
Things that surprised us and things that didn't, that headline surprises you?
It does, yeah, mm-hmm. It does, yeah. It does because if you're a sane individual, you know, hey, teams get beat. It's almost like this team, the Chiefs in this era, have to be perfect. They've got to be 17-0. They've got to win the Super Bowl. They've got to do everything perfect for them to get the credit that they deserve for the dynasty that they did create. And people so quickly want to rip this dynasty off like a Band-Aid and be done with it and say, see, the Patriots still up there when Bill Belichick and Tom Brady went through their struggles as well. But for whatever reason, we don't want to remember that, and we want to say this dynasty's over. It's not. As long as Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are here, this team will be considered to be a Super Bowl contender every single year that they are together here in KC.
From the 913, what a great day to live in Kansas City. I love seeing all of these sad faces that have been running their mouths the last few weeks. That was awesome. So there's that for you, for something that might surprise you. Something that didn't surprise us, Saquon was held in check.
Yeah.
I think we'll get to our script here in about 10 minutes on the other side of this segment. But I think 54 yards, I mean, I know that they did more damage otherwise,
mm-hmm.
which would be something that did surprise us. Jalen Hurts, I think he surprised me. I think in that moment, in that game, and for what that was for him and their team, I was surprised that he brought it like he did. Somebody mentioned earlier on the text line that they saw him on the sideline. They were showing him on the TV that every time that the defense stopped the Chiefs, he was, you know, rah-rahing the guys up on the sideline, like ready to get out there and go do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that surprised.
Which was very different from what was going on the Chiefs sideline last night, because just talking to some people that were down there, it's like it was quiet, it was silent, there was nothing. The offense wasn't talking to each other. Again, they don't know how to handle adversity. They don't know how to handle these things because they really have never been in those situations before. And that's not a negative. That's not something to say, well, you just don't know how to handle it. No, they were pouty on the sidelines last night because they've never been in that situation. And again, I don't know how you teach that. I don't know how you coach that. I don't know how you move forward and say, we're going to have to handle adversity better. But they need to handle adversity better last night. And you find yourself down 10-0, 17-0. You can't be on the sidelines pouty. You got to figure out a way to keep everybody up, to keep everybody moving in the right direction. And once kind of their body language changed and they started to kind of, I don't want to say give up on the sidelines, but you could see that nobody was talking, nobody seemingly knew an answer. That's how you knew that this team was cooked yesterday.
Another surprising factor, the performance of 15. I think that was kind of shocking.
Yeah.
I think that's another reason why, like, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, man, this sucks. Of course it does. But, you know, I will say this. Every time he seems to be embarrassed or this type of thing has happened, he's come back,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, the loss to Tampa, the loss to, you know, Joe Burrow in the AFC Championship game, and then just kind of the, you know, get back, win two in a row, and then go for a three-peat. So, but still a little surprised that that's what we had to see because that wasn't the Patrick Mahomes I think everybody's used to seeing. No, I think we can all comfortably say that.
Do you think that's his worst game that he's ever played?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I do.
Yeah, I do too.
He was awful.
He was terrible last night.
Those two interceptions were, I mean, bad. Abysmal.
And it reminds me of going into the game against the Buffalo Bills 2 weeks ago, right, when we beat them, win the championship. And I remember we had the conversation of Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. And I said, whichever quarterback tries to put on a cape and play hero ball is going to lose this football game. Patrick Mahomes tried to put on that cape and play hero ball last night. And he really, guys, tried to play hero ball basically from the second drive on.
Yeah.
You know, from basically that second drive on, he tried to put on that cape. He tried to be a hero. He tried to do things that he wasn't capable of doing. And how many interceptions were dropped? Like, what, two? You know, that probably could have been another at least two interceptions that could have, you know, been attributed to Patrick Mahomes. The minute it started to go south, they all went south. And as soon as Mahomes went south, everybody followed and everybody else went south. In those type of situations, you know, it's like Will Ferrell in Old School. We got to keep our composure. We got to keep our composure, right? Did you see Old School? You did not. And so they didn't keep their composure. But their leader didn't keep his composure last night. And that was one of the more upsetting things. It's not frustrating. It was just upsetting last night to see Patrick Mahomes in that type of situation not keep his composure, not stay kind of focused on everything that was going on, not stay in the moment. We saw Patrick Mahomes get out of himself and try to do things that he wasn't capable of doing last night, forcing that football, trying to make plays that weren't there. And the minute he started to do that, that's when you knew that game was done.
Yeah, I would have gone the Office reference of, everybody stay calm, stay calm.
Yeah.
That would, yeah, so same thing, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, and they didn't.
They didn't.
Yeah.
And that's their leader. I mean, again, you try to play hero ball, you're not going to win at that quarterback position. But again, Patrick Mahomes had no time back there. And as bad as he was, a lot of it does get attributed back to the offensive line for not playing well. They didn't blitz one time in that game last night, and they had six sacks. The fourth time in NFL history that they went through a game where they didn't blitz, where there was not one blitz from the defense, I should say since next-gen stats started, whenever that was. It's the fourth time in NFL history you had a situation where the opposing defense didn't blitz, and they still got the Patrick Mahomes six times last night. So no matter what he was doing back there, he was running for his life all afternoon.
Yeah, the trickle-down effect was real. I mean, you see the collapse on the left side. Tooney's getting beat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the defensive line from Philadelphia was just way too much. They were the heavyweight in that fight last night that just really set the tone. They were the wall that you couldn't stop. And that trickles down to then Mahomes starts having that clock in his head that either does or doesn't exist, as mentioned before. And then Travis drops a pass.
Right.
And then DeAndre Hopkins drops that pass. And then in the second half, I think, maybe it was in the first half, Trey Smith gets called for a hold, and then Creed Humphrey gets called for a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And those are your leaders, right? Those are the guys that are the two faces, right? They do all those ads together, not all those, but they do the Jack Stack ad, they push the car out there. It's always Treat and Cray, right? And so, like, it's your leaders that are making the oh crap plays.
Yeah.
Right? Like DeAndre dropping that pass on the way to the end of the first half. Maybe he catches that. Maybe that starts something. Doesn't happen.
And DeAndre Hopkins, guys, like, never drops anything in his life.
And how many times have you ever seen, I mean, you'd have to go find it. I'm sure it's happened a few times, where Creed and Trey, back-to-back penalties. Like, that's your interior lineman. Right. Those are your soldiers. And then you've got Mahomes being like, I just got to, you know, I got to do everything I can. It's like, we've seen this. Like, you've seen Mahomes have to do this before. And I think the last time you mentioned, like, it was that Tampa Bay game. So,
yeah.
We'll see what happens, though. I mean, like, the thing is like, you can definitely be upset. This is one of those short-term painful situations, but know the long-term, right? Like, Andy's not going anywhere. Mahomes isn't going anywhere. Brett Veach isn't going anywhere. And if there's one person always fixes it in the draft, it's Brett Veach. So, judging by the way those guys took the loss, like the higher power guys last night.
It was bad.
They're coming back. And, like, this one stung because they knew what this game meant. And we're going to prove to you we have no idea what this game was going to do because our scripts are completely off. We'll get to those on the other side. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.